But what we're going to talk about today is back to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, John 21, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. John 21, we're going to pick up at verse 15. While you're finding your places there, I'll just kind of recap how we got here. Over these last few weeks, we've been talking about the things that took place between Easter and they're taking us up to Pentecost here in a couple of weeks, and the significant events in Scripture, the things that took place in Jesus' life and the life of his followers, and the things that were getting ready to birth that new church, prepping them for that. And so last week we had Peter and the others out fishing, if you remember, and Jesus was on the shore, and Peter jumped in the water and came up, you know, and the rest of them joined, and Jesus had made breakfast for them over a charcoal fire. Interesting thing. This wasn't, some versions say coal, some say charcoal. They don't have coal like we think of it in the Palestine area. This was a carefully prepared wood. It was wrapped in leaves, and it was made to burn and burn for a long period of time. And when we look through scriptures, the interesting thing I find about coal or charcoal when it's used, it's used during the sin offering that the priest used. They had a censer full of charcoals. I think of Isaiah, right, when he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips," and what happened? An angel came down with holding a coal and tongs to press against his lips. And so there's something about cleansing. And even though that's not explicitly what's written here, I think there's something implicit we can take from the fact that Jesus didn't just throw something together here. He created this fire, this well-prepared fire for this breakfast, the fire that would last, something that would last for a long period of time, because at least symbolically, he was talking and getting ready to talk to Peter about the importance of his work, because there was something getting ready to take place that had to last for a long, long time. And so after they have eaten the meal, again, this verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." You've heard some of this recently on Easter Sunday as I prepared to leave here and was getting ready to rush off to Tennessee to be with my mother, as my father had, well, he passed later that day. And John Nichols grabbed me on the way out and he said, "Brother, what can I do for you?" And I said, "Well, you can preach next Sunday." And he did. And I've listened to that over and over again, and I shared with him this week that I'd already planned this series of messages talking about this time from Good Friday to Pentecost, and we didn't get a chance to talk about that prior to his message. And when I came back and listened to it, and I listened to it again yesterday, it's like I had to, maybe I was having a cookout and having a bunch of people over, and at the last minute I got called into work. And then when I came back, I found out that somebody had set up the grill and turned it on, went out and purchased all the stuff that was necessary and done all this stuff. And I still had some work to do, but all this preparation had been done. And I feel like John's message had really kind of set the table for this whole series of messages. And so we're going to go back over some of the same things that he talked about in order to talk about a few other things. And we have Jesus here after the meal talking to Peter. And he asks Peter some questions. He gives Peter some directions. And he's trying to accomplish a few things here. And it's interesting that he calls him Simon, son of John. Now, we do remember some time ago when Jesus said to the then Simon, "You are now called Peter." And he gave Peter, now, which means rock, this commission about his place in the start of the new church. We know that Peter has slipped up a little along the way. We know that he said to Jesus, "When all else fall away, I will still stay with you." But then he denied Jesus 3 times. We know that Jesus gave him a commission to go out with the others and make disciples, and Peter went fishing. And so now Jesus is calling him on the carpet a little bit, and he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon, son of John. He reminds Peter that of his own, he is from very, very humble beginnings. His earthly family, fishermen, a fish. He calls him by this full name, kind of, as I'm sure some parents in here may have done, calling their children by their full names, and not usually when everything was going well. So he calls him in and he gets his attention with this and reminds him of who he was so he can tell him who he's going to be. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Now, as you heard a couple of weeks ago, what we see as a word for love is actually multiple words. The Greeks had multiple words for love. They have the word eros, which is romantic love, storge, which is the love you come by naturally as a parent for a child. Those aren't used here. But two that are, phileo and agape. Now, phileo literally means of the same womb. It's a brotherly love. Phileo means love of that type. I was leading to something else. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. Adelphi means of one. And phileo means to love, and it's that kind of love. It's the strong, affectionate love that one has for one, like a brother. And agape is that whole love of God. Phileo, you love your brother. Agape, you love your enemy. You love those that don't treat you well. You love completely. It's a complete, whole, and utter love. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter responds, "Lord, I phileo you." And then Jesus' first question, he says, "More than these." And the meaning of this is somewhat unclear. He may have been referring to all the stuff, all the fishing boats and the nets, and referring to the fact that, you know, I gave you a job to do and you went back to what you knew. You went back to the world. Is that what you love, or do you really love me more than that? Or he may have been pointing to the other disciples. Because it was Peter that said, "When all the others fall away, I'll still be there." But either way, the point is this. If you do love me, feed my lambs. Jesus again asks, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo you." Peter's being honest. And Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" And Peter's hurt. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you." There's an impact to Jesus bringing this down to the love of brothers. He's getting ready to point Peter to a time when Peter will experience agape. But he's not there yet. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. And it's not just okay, it's good that you're here. but I have work for you to do. See, first Jesus says, feed my lambs. And we all know, right, the difference between a lamb and other sheep is lambs are what? They're the young. And so Jesus is saying, take care of the young, both literally the young in age, but also the young believers, the new that have come to the faith. Make sure you don't neglect them. Feed the lambs. And the second time he says, take care of or tend to my sheep, meaning the whole flock. But he doesn't use the word feed here. He uses the word that we would use for shepherding. In other words, the whole of the ministry. He is telling Peter here now, you are taking the whole of this upon you. And what do shepherds do? Of course they feed the sheep, but they also lead the sheep. They protect the sheep. They bring healing to the sheep. They know where the sheep are. They look for the sheep that are lost. And they want to bring those sheep back in. So he's saying, tend to, shepherd my sheep. And the third time, when he says, do you love me? And Peter replies, then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter learned this. I think part of it was make sure that they have food, right? We know in the early church that was an issue. There were people that needed to be fed, and they addressed that with actual food. But Peter also, in his own writing, and he addressed the sheep and the lambs in his own writing. If you read in 2 Peter, he talks about those who need milk and those who have grown to be able to accept the meat of the Word of God. Feed them. Feed them. Feed my sheep. And feed them the Word of God. Feed them at a level that they can understand. Feed them while you're taking care of them and continue to feed them as they grow. Feed my sheep. It's part of making disciples. And Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of the flock. And feed my sheep. Jesus does this in front of others. And he does this not to humiliate Peter. He's talked to Peter before since the resurrection. But Peter, everyone knows of Peter's denial of Christ. And yet Peter is to be the leader of this group. And so Jesus, yes, is confronting Peter about this, but he's also giving Peter, specifically Peter, the charge of the taking care of the tending, of the shepherding this group, in front of others. So he is reestablishing Peter in front of the rest of the group. We know that Peter was somewhat, by his own nature, the leader. They followed him to go fishing. We know that he was somewhat, but now Jesus is putting his seal of approval on Peter as the lead. The leader of this group. And when we get into the second chapter of Acts, we'll see Peter take this and take a hold of it. But he's establishing this in front of others so that others know that it is Jesus who designated him in this role. And he tells him again, when you were young, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. The evidence is strong that both Peter and his wife were crucified for being followers of Christ. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. That's not in Scripture, but it's said that he did that because he was not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Christ. But as upsetting as this sounds to us, this was good news. It wasn't happy news, but it was good news to Peter. Because Peter was doubting, Peter was crushed, Peter was hurt in this moment. And Jesus said, you are going to go. You will be following me. Your life will be one by which God will be glorified. When you were young, you did what you wanted. But now it's time for you to be led from on high. When you were young, you dressed yourself the way you wanted. You went where you wanted. You ran where you wanted. You said what you wanted. You went fishing when you wanted. That time's over, Peter. Follow me. Follow me. But I think the single great message from this passage, and there are many, maybe this isn't the only one, but the one I want to really emphasize today is this. Jesus gave Peter's instruction to tend to and feed the sheep, the lambs. But his initial question each time was, do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, then do this. To be a follower of Jesus, to do the work that Jesus wants us to do, starts with loving Jesus like a brother. It starts with loving Jesus like a brother. Before you can go out and work in His name, you've got to love Him first. You may be led places that you don't want to go, but you've got to love Jesus first. And then you'll be able to go to those places and glorify God in those places. But first, you've got to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? You've got to love Jesus. And to love God is to obey His commands. We know that from Scripture also. And so Jesus is setting a priority here, though. It's not enough just to do the work. It's not enough just to go do church work. It's good to feed people. It's good to do those things. But first, do you love me? And that question echoes down through the corridors of time into our ears right now. Jesus saying, not, do you feed my sheep? Do you love me? Do you love me with all the love there is, the way that God loves the world? Not yet? Okay. Do you love me like a brother? Do you love me like the family that I am? Then, go feed my sheep. We can't miss the priority of Jesus' statement there. We work in response to our love for Christ. But the love for Christ comes first. Jesus sets a straight line. And it's hard sometimes, because we want to talk about, and it's true, the loving Christ who meets us where we are and wraps His arm around us and loves us in that way. We like that part of it. But the other part is sometimes we stray away from the line and Jesus has to pull us back in. We have to stand up under the rebuke. And we can say, Lord, You know all things. You know I go to church every Sunday. Lord, You know all things. You know I do my devotional every day. Lord, and Jesus is saying, do You love me? Sometimes He has to call us back into line. There's a side to Jesus that can seem harsh because it has to bring us back in. It's that good shepherd, right? Comforting us with a rod and a staff. Not smacking us unnecessarily, but to keep us from going off. Because to wander from Jesus is to be in a bad place. So He has to bring us back in. And if we stray, He loves us enough, He agapes us enough to correct us. Publicly if necessary. It's just like we do with our children, right? You love your children, you want them to have fun and enjoy their lives, but you don't let them run in the street. You bring them back. If it embarrasses them in front of their friends, that's okay. It's better than getting hit by a truck. And this is what Jesus is saying. Yes, straying from me may be what you want to do, Peter. Going and fishing may be what you want to do. But I've given you a command. I have given you a commission. Do you love me? And we know that Peter responded and responded well. Church, we want to go and do what Jesus is calling us to do. The message for us in this day is to begin by loving Him. Love Jesus. Not words, but a condition of the heart. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God, if we take that first step, God will put in us an increase. Our ability. It's how we move from the philia to the agape. It's how we move there because He puts it in us and He causes the increase in our lives and increases the amount of love that we have. Isn't love an amazing thing like that? It's the only resource I know that you, the more you use it, the more you have of it. Think about that. The more you love, the more you love. The more love you give, the more love you have. Because God feeds that love. God expands and increases that love. So I'd like you to think about that this week. Next week we're going to talk about Matthew 28 and the Great Commission and Jesus sending out for the feeding of the sheep. But this week, I'd like you to think about that. Loving Jesus. Go through the Gospels and find some places where Jesus did something for you. Remember John 3:16. Because that's for you. Remember the cross, because that's for you. And spend some time this week thinking about how much you love Jesus. Amen.